today. I'm just telling you, God is able. God is able. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles all the way to Psalm 37, and we're going to talk about casting your cares upon the Lord. Casting your cares upon the Lord. Amen. Over the last several weeks, I've been teaching about prayer. I've been teaching about spending time in God's presence, about seeking Him in this new year, right? And we talked about different aspects of how to get into God's presence. And then we started talking specifically, you know, the different kinds of prayer. And we looked at the prayer of praise and worship. We looked at the prayer of supplication. Last week, we talked about the prayer of intercession. Amen. Are you praying for those around you? Are you praying for them? Amen. And then today, we're going to talk about the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment. Now, I don't mean, you know, a prayer of just saying, Lord, I commit myself to you. I mean committing your cares to Him.
Amen.
Committing your cares, or what the Bible says, casting your cares. This is a form of prayer that we must participate. Because we got to know and understand God is not going to come and remove cares and burdens on from us automatically.
Right.
He gives us the job. Yeah. He gives us the you know, the assignment of casting our cares. Amen. And I want to start over here in Psalm 37, maybe a familiar passage of Scripture. Typically, we go to verse 4 and 5, you know, and we get excited. The Bible says that God is going to give us the desires of our heart. And we should get excited about that because He wants to do that for us. He tells us. But we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to put it in context of what it's talking about here. Of what it's talking about here in verse 1, chapter 37 in verse 1. It says, fret not. I'm reading from the King James. I'm going to also spend a lot of time in the Amplified Bible today. I brought my parallel Bible here, so we're going to look at the Amplified Version. It says, fret not thyself. You can just go ahead in your Bible, underline those three words, live on that. We could just end the sermon right there, go home and say we had church. Yeah, fret not thyself. And it says, because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. It says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right? It's talking about in context that don't look at the circumstances around you and wonder why at times there are people that seem to not be following God and it may look like they're doing better than you. You know? I mean, couldn't we look at that in our country? We see a lot of people doing wrong, but yet they're prospering, at least financially, it looks like they're prospering more than what the church is doing or what godly people are doing. The Bible says, don't you fret at the circumstances around you because you have something that they don't. You have something because they're built on a foundation that can wash away any minute. You're built upon a foundation that can't be washed away, can't be moved. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing can move what we're standing on. Nothing. Praise God. And he goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. It says, don't be concerned about what people are doing around you. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do, and you'll eat well. You follow God with a singleness of heart. Don't you sit there and concern your mind and worry and get all these cares in your mind what other people are doing. You do your part. God says He'll feed you then. Aren't you glad that God will separate the one individual doing right and won't let them be swept away with the world and the destruction of the world? Amen. Aren't you glad that He will find the righteous, He will find those that are faithful, He will find them, right?
Yes.
In the midst of the millions if He has to.
Yes. That's right.
Aren't you glad? You will dwell in the land and you shall be fed. And then verse 4, he's talking about, here's a familiar scripture, delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of your heart, right? Well, what is it talking about in context? Fret not yourself.
Yes, right.
Fret not yourself. Don't be a person overwhelmed with care and anxiety or worry. Don't look at the circumstances.
Right.
Don't look at what the maybe someone who's evil in political office is doing. Don't look at what the economy is doing. Listen, there might be people every day making decisions that might affect your life, but at the end of the day, you've got the Trump card.
Yes.
You got the God card.
Amen.
And he will not allow their decisions to ruin you. Glory to God. That's why it says, delight yourself in the Lord. See, he's saying, delight. You know you're delighted in the Lord when the things and the people around you, they don't influence you.
Yes.
They don't bring you down. They don't, you know, you don't assume their burdens.
Right. That's it.
I'm not going to assume the decisions of everything the federal government is going to do.
Right. That's right.
My joy isn't found in their heads.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to assume the decisions of people that try to attack us or criticize us or whatever. Right? We're going to delight ourselves in the Lord and not think about or worry about what others are doing.
That's right.
You know? You do understand that, of course, the devil does not want us in Erie, Pennsylvania. You know that? Also, some churches don't want us there in Erie, Pennsylvania. We know because we got a phone call this week. Stay out of Erie. Literally. From a pastor. Glory to God, bless his heart. We're not trying to compete with anybody. Stay out of Erie. Erie's been hurt too much by churches. Erie has enough churches. Stay out, literally. Is everyone in Erie saved? You know? Is everybody living for God? Is everyone filled with the Spirit? I guess there must be no more harvest to be had in Erie. Listen, I'm not going to worry myself about what other organizations think, what other people say. I'm going to delight ourselves in the Lord. Because I can't be delighting in God if I'm thinking or concerned about something else. Notice the difference between fret and delight. If you're fretting in things around you, you cannot be delighting yourself in the Lord. If you're concerned, if you're worried, if you're burdened. You see that? If you're burdened, you are no longer delighting yourself in the Lord. And if you're burdened, he can't bring you the desires of your heart. Because notice, this is a requirement of having the desires of your heart. Verse 4 of the Amplified Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. God knows what you want more than you know what you want. There are some, you know the secret petitions of the heart? Those are the things that money can't buy. There are things in life, you know, and the best things are the things that money will never get to. They will never be able to purchase. Peace in your family, your kids serving Jesus, being connected to your local church, serving God in the ministry. Those are all things that money cannot buy. And there are certain desires that people have in their heart that obviously money will never get to, will never be able to accomplish, but God can accomplish them. God can accomplish them. But notice it says you have to delight yourself also in the Lord. Praise God. You know, I think it's interesting, this word delight in the Hebrew. The original word in Hebrew, the word to delight, means to pour yourself into a mold. I like that. To pour or to conform yourself to his image. Isn't that what the Bible says in the New Testament? That we are conformed to his image? That we're made in the image of God? Listen, as you delight yourself in the Lord, meaning that you seek to every aspect of your life is to make a form or a mold. To pattern your life what the Word of God says. That's how you know you're delighting yourself in the Lord. That's how you know that you've delighted in him. There's going to be things, people are going to resist the mold. You know, to be poured, you know, for something to be poured, it has to be flexible, doesn't it? It has to be willing to move. It has to be willing to make changes. You know, there's some people that God cannot bless because they're not willing to change. Think about when cement is being mixed and it's getting ready to pour, and they will first establish the forms. If you want a sidewalk, you don't just walk out your door and just pour cement on your yard, right? If you want a walkway, you know, a proper sidewalk up to your house, you know, they dig out the mold. They form it with 2x4s and whatever. And then they mix the cement. And you ever seen those cement mixers? You know, why do they keep those things moving while they're getting the forms ready? Because they don't want that cement to harden before it's time to pour. Because once it gets hard and once it's no longer flexible, it's useless. And in the same way, once we become hard and unwilling to change, remember over there in Hebrews chapter 3 when God, you know, he chastened the Israelites, he's talking about them, he says, harden not your heart. If you will hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Remember the Bible says what happened to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? Remember that his heart became hard? He became immovable at the voice of God? The Israelites later themselves became hardened of heart and they went without the blessing of God? Are you flexible? Are you willing to change and make adjustments in your life? Because you're only delighting in God if you're willing to receive correction. You're willing to make adjustments. You're willing to be poured, you know, you're like the cement being poured over an image of Jesus so that you can end up look just like him.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You know, when people, you know, they'll come to church, and I've seen it. I've seen people, maybe there's some of you like this here today, God forbid, you know, that they've come to church and they've heard the word and they just won't change. You can sit there in a church for years, but until you do what the word of God says, no blessings coming. There's people that say, well, I don't know why the desires of my heart aren't coming to pass. You know, have you conformed to Jesus? Have you conformed your life around him? Have you been willing to make the changes in how you entertain yourself? What music you listen to? What movies you watch? The closest confidants that you bring into your life? Have you honored him in your associations? You know, come on now. Delight yourself. Be poured. Be flexible. Yes. Don't be the hardened concrete, because once it's set, you can't change its direction.
Right.
You know? I remember, you know, I've used this illustration before. I remember I lived in town and we had a sidewalk out in front of our house. And I remember a couple of times city workers would have to come out and I remember them replacing a couple of the sections in the sidewalk. And of course, there was three kids living in the house, and we'd see the city workers. They would come and they would pour the cement, and we'd watch them. And as soon as that city truck drove away, we'd have to go out there, you know. And when it was fresh and when it was poured, you know, we could put our initials in it, handprints, write things. We won't discuss what we wrote. nothing bad. But while it was still in that form, it was pliable. You know, it was something you could change, you could manipulate, you could write messages on it, right? You could write your initials on it. But as soon as that hardened, if we didn't get out there right away, as soon as it set, there was no change in it. In the same way, that's a lot of believers. They've become set, and now God can't write on them. You know? God can't write his plans. He can't, you know, he can't change and manipulate and form their life because they've become stubborn and hardened in heart. Listen, I'll tell you what, God doesn't change, but we should change every single day. And the reason why people are not seeing the desires or the blessing of God, the desires of their heart, is because they themselves are unwilling to change. Listen, you want to see God's blessing? You don't have to know everything. You just have to know this. Once you see it in the word, conform to it.
Yeah, amen.
Do it. Be willing to change. That's all God is looking for. Father, I don't know very much. I'm not very gifted. I'm not very this or that. I'm not the most whatever in the world. I'm not the best at probably anything. But one thing I will be good at, and that's being correctable.
Yeah.
All I need to be is teachable.
Yeah.
All I need to be is willing to do what the word of God says. He'll give me the desires of my heart. Praise the Lord. But I can't fret. I can't look at what other people are doing. I can't look at what's going on in the world. I can't live in the decisions of other men. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not even to my message here. Just getting through the introduction here. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Pour yourself around the mold of Jesus, and he will give thee the desires of your heart, the secret petitions, the things that you the things that will bless you most.
Yeah, that's good.
The things that will bless you most that money can't get to. Yeah. Now, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Notice, your way has to be committed to the Lord. Don't think you're going to get the desires of your heart until you're first committed to the things of God. You know, a lot of people, they don't see the power and the blessing of God. They're not committed to a local church. God always works within the framework of commitment. They don't see the blessing of God because they're not committed in their marriage. Marriage is an institution of God. They're not committed to the local church. That's an institution of God. You know, they're not committed to obedience. They're not committed to personal character. They're not committed to integrity. They're not committed to people. Right? I'm committed to you. Right? I'm first committed to Jesus. I'm here out of loyalty to him, but second, I'm here for you.
Yes. That's right.
And while other people, they come and they go, the whole time I will be right here staying committed to Jesus and staying committed to you even when you're not committed to me.
Sure.
And I'm using that as an illustration. We should all have that attitude.
Right.
Who are the people that God has called you to be committed to?
Yeah.
Committed to your church. Yeah. Committed to your spouse. Committed to your employer. You're committed to them.
Right. Amen.
Committed to your supervisor. Well, you don't know what kind of person they are, Pastor Tim. It doesn't matter. The principle of commitment will bless you when they can't.
Right.
You think that the hand of blessing is in the hand of your supervisor? Do you think that your employer is your provider? They might be a channel that God uses, but you had better know and understand that the principle of commitment is going to bless your life way more than any person can.
Amen.
Way more than any paycheck can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, people talk about, well, we just skip from church to church. You know, well, no, if you are in need of a church, you might have to look around for a little while. And I'm not talking, there are right and wrong ways for leaving a church. But I'm talking about those frivolous folks that just drift around from church to church. And they say, well, I've been in church my whole life. You know? Well, but you haven't been committed your whole life.
That's it.
You haven't been committed to a family. Committed to a covenant. Glory to God. But anyway, I'm trying to get to my message here. These are just little rabbit trails we're taking. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Notice, he can only bring to pass what you're committed to. He can only bring to pass what you're committed to. If you ever thought that God blesses without personal character, there's Christians all over, God bless me, but I'm not doing a thing for you. Forget that. It's not going to happen. Come on. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to bring up, can you bring up, please, on the screen, verse 5 is what I want to get to. And we're going to bring it up in the Amplified Bible. Listen to how the Amplified, this is the original Hebrew, how it was written. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him.
Yes.
See, remember, it started out by saying, fret not yourself. And then it says, commit your way to God. How do you commit your way to God? The Bible says to roll your care upon him. I like that. It says to repose all your care on him. The word repose means to let it rest upon.
Yes.
Let it rest upon him. Roll it upon him.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's use an illustration, shall we?
Yeah.
And if it's a weak illustration, you can tell me. I'll be able to tell by the look on your faces. But imagine if you had some dear relative left you for an inheritance. They left you an antique sports car or a very valuable collectible sports car. The one I'll use for this illustration is one of my personal just favorites is the early 1961 Ferrari GT250 California. Have you ever known what one of those cars are? Well, unfortunately, we're probably familiar with this illustration. I don't watch this movie. I haven't seen it as a Christian, but it was the sports car that was used in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, now we know. Oh, yeah. Remember the one? His buddy's dad owned a very valuable antique sports car, and they took it out for a joyride. It was that red little convertible. Well, those cars happen to be extremely rare, extremely valuable. One just sold this month. They found one, and it used to be owned by Jane Fonda's boyfriend. Jane Fonda had a boyfriend? Just kidding. But anyway, they found this thing wrapped up in a barn, and they just sold it this month for $15.9 million. So let's say you just inherited a GT250 California Ferrari, all right? And let's say the relative that gave that to you, you know, had it stored up from the day it was brand new. Let's say it barely had any miles on it, just perfect, excellent condition. And they said, yep, you've inherited this car. You know, step up and get it, and you go and you look at it, and it's just gorgeous and pristine. But let's say there's a catch. Let's say you look at this car, you find out, you know, how valuable it is, and you say, okay, let's sell it. Who wants a car when I can sell it for 15 mil? Right. And you say, all right, I'm going to sell this car. And so you go ahead, you post the Ferrari on Craigslist. And somebody responds and says, I'll take it. But the buyer lives out in California, okay? Now, you need to get that car to California. And even though it's in brand new condition, excellent running, are you going to jump in that Ferrari GT? Are you going to start it up and say, let's drive it? Let's drive it to California. Well, we need to get it there. It runs fine. You're all shaking your head like, no, don't do that. Don't do that to that car. What would happen if you took that car and you drove it all the way 3,000 miles to California to deliver it to someone going to buy it for $15 million? What's going to happen to that car potentially as you drive it across country? It's going to get wear and tear, right? Stones could kick up. Put one little scratch in it. One scratch could cost you $500,000. You know, the wear and tear, you know, the mountain roads and all the things here in between, you would never think of doing that because you wouldn't want the burden of such a valuable piece, right? You wouldn't want that thing to carry the burden because it's so valuable. So what do you think you would do? You would hire, preferably at the buyer's expense, right? You'd hire a truck, maybe an enclosed flatbed. And what would you do? You would roll that thing onto that truck to carry that expensive, precious, valuable piece, yes. Right? Because it has a mission in California. It's your inheritance. Woo, glory to God. Right? You would roll it on there, and now that car is going to make the same trip. It's going to the same destination, except now it's not going to have any of the burden or the wear and tear. Amen. Okay? Yes. Why? Because now it's been rolled upon a truck. Something with greater strength is now bearing the weight and bearing the burden, and now it's going to get to the same destination. It's going to retain all of its value.
Yes. Amen. That's good.
You understand that? Do you realize how valuable you are?
Yes.
Imagine taking that car and saying, no, I don't want to put it on the flatbed, you know, or the box truck. I don't want to put it on there. Just, I'll, you know, have the box truck drive out ahead, and I'll follow the box truck all the way to California. You're all shaking like, that sounds really dumb, doesn't it? That sounds extremely dumb. But that's exactly what Christians are doing. The box van is out in front of us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we're driving behind him, but yet we're taking all the burden and bearing all the weight of things when we could have just rolled it on the truck and let Him carry it for us. Praise the Lord. See, you aren't designed to handle the burden of worry and carry. You know, the worries to carry and cares to carry.
That's right.
Just like that car is not designed for cross-country travel.
That's right.
You're not designed. You can't handle it. God didn't make you to carry worry. He didn't make you to carry burden.
Right. Yeah.
But when you carry it, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. But when that car is on that truck, that truck bears all the weight. It takes all the scratches, all the wear and tear.
Right.
See, we're all going to the same destination if you're born again.
Yes.
Heaven is our home.
Yes.
We're just passing through.
Right.
But you can decide in this life to either cast your cares on Him and let roll your cares and your load on Him, and you can go to the same destination carefree.
Amen.
Without burdens in this life.
Right.
Or you can try to carry it yourself. You'll end up at the same place, but your trip isn't going to be nearly as good. Not nearly as good. Verse 5, look what he says. Commit your way to the Lord. I'm in the Amplified. Roll and rest each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. How is God going to bring your faith to pass? What you pray for, what you believe for, you're going to have to commit your care.
Right.
Because notice this, cares are trying to hinder your prayers.
Yes.
Boy, isn't that just a nice little rhyme? Care hinders prayer.
Amen.
Whatever you're believing for will be hindered by whatever you worry for.
You're right. Yes.
If you're worrying about it, you're hindering it. If you're fretting about it, you're hindering it. You're stopping the flow.
Right.
Roll it.
Yes.
Roll it onto Him.
It.
I just get that picture of that car. Hallelujah. Just rolling up those ramps.
Yes.
Set it in that car. Let that truck that has the power, let Him carry it.
Yes.
And then you know what? Once it's on the truck, I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, right.
But if you are driving across country in that car, every little bump, you drive onto a gravel road. You'd hear the stones kicking up. You'd be thinking about it. You'd be worried about it. But if you put it on the truck, you don't have to think about it anymore. It's on the truck.
Amen.
It's covered. It's fully insured.
Yeah.
It's going there without problem.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know you are relying. You have cast your care upon the Lord. When it's there, you're done thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's on Him. It's fully insured, and it'll come to pass. Come on now. And if you would trust an insured carrier to deliver such a precious item, you wouldn't think twice. It's insured.
Yeah, right.
And you know, the buyer insured it for $15 million. Who cares? Roll it down a cliff now for all I care. I mean, I'm saying that jokingly. But you know, once it's on the truck's going to bear all the potholes. It's going to bear all the scratches.
Yeah.
It's going to handle all the cares.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fully insured. It's in the right place. And now I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Once your care is on God,
yes,
you're done thinking about it.
That's right. Amen.
It's fully insured.
Yes.
It's fully cared for. It's bearing the weight because I'm not the one that's to carry it. No, praise the Lord. This is how God's blessing comes to you in your life.
Yes. Amen.
If you care about it, meaning if you worry and stress and panic about it, it's not God that we're waiting for. God's waiting for you to get your care and your worry out of the way.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Go with me to Psalm 55. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in church?
Yes.
People have accused me and say, Pastor Tim, you act like you don't care. I said, you're exactly right. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't care. And of course, they're trying to catch you in your words, try to accuse you of not being sympathetic. No, I'm just not going to worry about it. I've had people tell me, I've had church members, I've had family members, don't you, you're not worried? Don't you care about me? Why won't you worry about me? It must be because you don't care. No, just the opposite. I do care, therefore I know enough to keep worry out of it. Because
right.
Jesus said, by which one of you can add one statute to his cube or by worrying
right.
or by taking thought? I can't change your situation by worrying about you, and I can't love you by worrying for you either.
No, that's right.
Don't you ever worry about me.
Right, right.
I don't need your worry. God doesn't need your worry.
That's
worry
right.
never blessed anybody. Worry was never a definition for love.
No.
Say, well, Pastor, I want to give you my sympathy. Okay, well, thank you, but I'd rather have your faith.
That's it. Faith.
I'd rather have you say, you know, I'd rather have you stand in faith. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel sorry. All right?
Amen.
In the same way, when people, you know, they don't need your worry. But Pastor, you don't know what they're going through. They need your faith. They don't need your worries or your cares. And what they were going through, you can't carry. You're not the truck.
No, right.
You're the car. Your life is so precious and valuable to God. He didn't ever design you to carry the weight of this world. Imagine if someone took a GT250 Ferrari and said, yeah, you know, I found this car. It's awesome. I work in contracting, and I use it to haul cinder blocks. I can only haul maybe 10 or so in the trunk and maybe another 10 in the back seat or whatever. Maybe, I don't think they even have back seats, but, you know. I could put 10 more in the passenger seat. You know, you're all looking at me like that'd be nuts. Because that car isn't made for that.
Right?
Right? It's made to run.
Yes.
It's made to be a blessing.
Yes.
Right? Same way, you weren't made to carry the load of this life. You were never made to worry because the Bible says that you were made in the image of God. God is never worried about you. Aren't you glad, you know, that you don't, you know, have to think of Jesus up there pacing the floor. He's not wearing out the floor in heaven worried about you. He's not wringing his hands. Yeah. Come on. And some people are saying, God, I'm waiting for you to take the burden out of my heart. Lord, I'm waiting for you to just lift it for me. No. The assignment, the job is ours. To roll our burdens onto him.
That's right.
Let me show you this. 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55, 22. I'm going to read in the King James. Come on now, you're getting some help?
Yes.
If you are praying worried, you're not praying.
Yeah. Right, good word. That's right.
Yeah. You understand that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Amen.
If you pray worried, you're not praying.
Right.
Because worry is a language that God doesn't know. God doesn't understand fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
He can't give you the spirit of fear because he himself knows nothing of it.
Right. Amen.
God doesn't give people fear.
No.
You start talking to God out of fear, he doesn't understand that.
Right.
He said, you better roll your burdens and stop fretting because
right.
only then can I grant your secret petitions.
Yes.
Only then.
Yes.
People say, I pray because I worry. No, I don't pray until I'm not worried.
Yes, good, Pastor.
There's a big difference.
Yes,
there's people, they pray because they're worried. Wrong. They're wasting their time.
Right.
God says, you roll your burdens upon me.
That's right.
You aren't designed to carry it.
Because
you're valuable to God. You're valuable to his plan.
Right.
You are the soul winners.
Yes.
You are the fishing nets of the harvest. How can we be fishers of men if we're worried all the time and panicked all the time? The devil has got you hoodwinked if you're worried about money when you should be winning souls.
There you go.
Should be believing God. Oh, my. Are you here today?
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
You getting something out of this?
Yes.
You're not counting the ceiling boards again, are you?
No.
Count the rafters. Let's see how many. How many blades are there on all these fans? Well, let's see. 3 times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 18. Oh, let's see. How many electrical outlets are there up there? How tall do you think this ceiling is? I'll tell you, it's 39 and a half feet to the peak. How wide is this room? It's 80 feet wide. How long is this room? It's 80 feet long. How many square feet is that? 6,400. Since you're so... If you want distractions, I'll just tell you. What is this with this carpet? I see lines in the carpet. That's because they're 2-foot carpet tiles. What color are these walls? They're considered taupe. Champagne. Not that we serve champagne here, you understand? But that's a new trendy color, you don't understand. So do you notice how everyone's more interested now? You are more interested in the light sockets or the fans or the... What's that thing up there? Oh, that's our projector. Why does it say Christie on the bottom of it? Well, that's the name of the lady that invented it. No, it's the name of the company. What do you think something like that goes for? You don't want to know. Yeah. See, now everyone's getting everybody's interest. Listen, God forbid a building would be more interesting to anybody than how to have heaven hear us and how to receive the secret desires of your heart and not carrying one burden in this life. You don't have to carry one burden. You don't have to carry one burden. I'm never going to worry for you.
That's right.
You're never going to worry for me.
That's right.
I'm not worried about so-and-so. I'm not worried about anybody.
Right.
People say, oh, my goodness, that sounds like you don't care. You're right. I don't care about you.
We
won't put that on Facebook. Family Church's new campaign, we don't care about you. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
I'm not going to worry for you. I'm going to have faith for you. I can't carry your burden. You can't carry mine.
Right.
A pastor doesn't have a better capacity to carry burdens than you do.
No, that's right.
We all, pastors included, have to roll it upon the Lord.
Yes.
And he's not going to come and just take away your burdens until you go and you cast them there.
Right.
Look at this. Psalm 55, 22. Praise the Lord. I wonder what that pulpit's made of. I don't know. What is it, Pete? Oak? Oak? Yeah, good hardwood. Doesn't it look nice? Pete Hofer made this. I love this pulpit. Praise the Lord. Did you know that it has a hinge here? You know? And here's a secret that you might not know about this pulpit, is that underneath, on the back side, pinned up under this piece, is bulletproof armor. And so, and right here I have a sidearm. Oh, I'm kidding. But who knows? Maybe I'm not kidding. You know, I know after this service I'm going to have more people wanting to come talk to me. You know, I'm going to be distracted. They're going to be like, oh, I got something more powerful than a gun in here. Oh, praise the Lord. Ooh, I got my marriage book. That'll change your life. Praise God. No, there's no armor. But the sidearm thing, just maybe. Just kidding, there's not. Is it okay? Did you bring your sense of humor with you today? The Bible says that God is he who sits in the heavens and laughs. You know, praise the Lord. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The word sustain means to uphold. Notice, it's your job. The word cast is an action on our side,
yes,
not an action on his side. It doesn't say take your burden. It doesn't say the Lord take your burden and sustain you. It says you cast it, and he will sustain you. But notice, God will not move until you cast that burden.
That's right. Yes.
We thought that God was just going to come on us automatically and just take the burden away. No, you got to cast it.
Amen.
You know, God isn't going to take your burden. Think of the word cast. It means to let something go.
Yeah, sure.
You know, let's say today, let's imagine this. Let's imagine it's 80 degrees out there. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it supposed to hit 30 today, maybe? Or, hey, I'll take it, man. Yesterday it was sunny and 25. I'm like, oh, man, t-shirt weather, you know? You know, and let's say, you know, we're out and we have a beautiful, you know, lodge-like setting outdoors. All the leaves are green and it's just warm and sunny. And you're just going to go cast some stones on the pond. You know what I mean by skipping stones? You're casting. You know, I've learned this about casting stones, that the pond doesn't come and take them from me. I notice this when I go to the, I know, really, really, really lame illustration. See, you remember the lame illustrations, though.
Yes.
Now, remember the, you know, when you go down to cast your vote, okay, I don't step in front of that machine or those people or whatever, and they don't take my vote from me. You know, I don't just stand there. You know, they don't read my mind and take it. No, I have to cast it. I have to let it go. You have to let it go.
Amen.
Amen. When you cast your burden upon the Lord, you're going to have to go to Him, and you are going to have to let it go.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. So you're just, you know, holding out till noon. Okay, if we can just get to noon. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. See, people are waiting for God to sustain them, but they have burdens. And if you're carrying the burden, okay, if you're carrying the burden, you are violating His word. That's why worry is a sin. Because to worry is to violate the processes that He set forth in His word. Everyone wants to talk about drinking, smoking, swearing. Yeah, those are sins. You know? And Christians will say, oh, man, I can't believe those heathens that drink and smoke and swear and go to the bars. But yet they themselves are champion worriers. Except they're worse because they know better. You're right. I said it. I'll put it in stone. An unbeliever who's down at the bar drinking, smoking, partying, and cussing and sinning bad is not even as bad as someone who knows the truth and still worries. They're ignorant. They don't know. They don't have the life of God in them. They don't have the word of God. Right? But how, I mean, how much worse is it for someone who knows, who has the life of God, and still worries? Say, but I came from a family of champion worries. Great-grandma worried, grandma worried, mama worried, and I worry. It just comes through the family. Well, guess what? When you got born again, you got a new family. You know, my DNA isn't in that family line so much anymore as it is in the line of God. I'm God's child.
Yes.
That DNA, that thing is broken. That's gone.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's radical and extreme. Well, whose child are you first?
Amen.
I am God's son. Now, I have a fantastic relationship with my parents. I love them and honor them and, you know, praise the Lord. But I'm first the son of God.
Amen.
That's my greatest supply.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Some of you young men, unmarried young men, you could get something out of that.
Yeah, good.
Mommy and daddy aren't your supply anymore. Time to move out.
Right.
Time to get, you know, believe in God.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
You know, I always pick on that. Because, yeah, anyhow. Praise the Lord. Pastor Tim, I want to be married. I want to be married. I want to find, you know, someone to get married to. How old are you? Oh, in my mid-20s. Where are you living? Mom and dad. Sorry, that Dr. Dufresne laid hands on me too many times. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Notice the burden's got to be cast before you're sustained. Yep. Now notice the rest of verse 22. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
That's right. Amen.
Who are the righteous that He's talking about here? Us. But in context, He's talking about those that cast their care.
Sure. Yes. Amen.
Because to carry care is not righteousness.
Right. You're right.
But to cast care is righteousness.
That's good.
You know, what are the things that are trying to dog you? You better cast them. Because just like that car is not equipped to carry construction equipment, you aren't. You are not designed to carry care. It'll crush you. Yeah, that car doesn't have the suspension for that. It wasn't designed to go over potholes and bumps, right? It was designed for smooth roads. In the same way, so were you. That doesn't mean that every road in life is going to be smooth. But when the rough road comes, you know, you don't have to have a rough road before you decide to let God carry your care. But you better understand that He carried it. Praise the Lord. You better cast it. So I'm looking at verse 22 and I'm making the point that God isn't just going to come and take your care or your burdens away. I'm just waiting for God to come and take it. Just waiting for God to come and take it. God says, no, if you want me to sustain you, you better cast it. You better roll it upon me.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, and once you do, I'll make sure you're never moved. Oh, I'll make sure you're never moved.
Yes.
You're never moved. Notice the promises attached to not being a person of worry and burden.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, well, glory to the Lord. I want to read verse 22 in the Amplified. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, releasing the weight of it. Releasing the weight. Now read the rest. He says, and He will sustain you. Praise God. Notice you have to release the weight of it, then God steps in. You got to release it. I mean, people say, Pastor Tim, how do I do that? It's this simple. Everyone watching? Father God, I cast the burden of this payment, this financial situation. I cast the burden of this health issue. I cast the burden of whatever. I cast it upon You. So, Father, I no longer carry the weight of it. You can't just know these things in your mind. You have to speak them out of your mouth. Father, I do not cast, I cast the burden. Maybe you have a grown child that's gone wayward. People say, oh, a good parent worries about their child. Wrong. You worry about your kids, you're not a good parent. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, that's just so hard-hitting. But it's true. Because, well, we've been raised under this idea, this religious thinking, good parents worry for kids. Wrong. Yeah, that you have just said, worrying is a good parenting principle. That's like saying worrying really blesses parenting kids. I wanted to bless my kids, so I worried about them. Worry is my gift to my children. Wrong. That's wrong. That's right. He says, you have to release the weight of it. Father, I no longer carry this burden. It's upon You. The weight is not upon me. So therefore, I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. I don't worry about it anymore. I'm not going to turn it over in my mind 1,000 times anymore. I'm done with it today. The burden is resolved. Because when that car gets on that truck, as far as you're concerned, it's in California already. You know, it's like that truck represents a piece of ground in California. You know what I mean? Just like when I stand here and I release that burden, it is like I am setting it on a piece of real estate that is in heaven. You know what I mean by that? Glory to God. Now look at the rest. He says, cast your burden, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Failure is the result of worry. That is where true failure in the eyes of God is. You say, oh my goodness, I've been a worry wart my whole life. I'm a big failure. Well, guess what? Today it can all change.
Yes.
In one moment of saying, Lord, forgive me of my worry,
yes,
I cast the weights.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I cast the burdens. I cast the cares and the anxieties on You. Well, praise the Lord. Now look at this. He says, because you've cast the weight, you've released the weight of it, He will not allow you to be moved or to slip. To slip. Think about this. Now, we have some really lovely wintry weather. You know, it's really starting to grow on me. you know, the winter weather. You know, I'm just thinking, we might as well just keep this through June because, I mean, I just is just so pretty out there. When you see the sun shining, you know, when you wake up, or when it's noon and it's -9, I mean, it's just amazing how beautiful it is. I'm being facetious, you know. But we have some wintry weather out there, and of course our guys do a fantastic job, you know, salting our steps, and we put chemicals on there so there's no ice and thing. But, you know, we could just use going upstairs in general, even stairs that are inside. You know, I noticed this at the stairs at my house. I mean, you know, and I actually kind of do this. It's just more or less, I'm not doing it on purpose, but, you know, everyone... Some people, they go upstairs slow. I have a way of just kind of jogging up my stairs. I don't know why. I just kind of jog up to the top of the stairs. And when I get there, no, I'm kidding. But I just kind of jog up my stairs. You know, other people, they go, whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, they go slow or whatever. But regardless of how you go upstairs, have you noticed you don't think anything of stairs until you're carrying something heavy? You ever notice that? It's like, I mean, you could, I mean, you're so used to the stairs in your home, if you have a two-story home or whatever, you know, I mean, I can count the steps. I can go down those steps with my eyes closed. I could go up them with my eyes closed. I could probably go up them and do a turn. Yeah. As I'm going. I mean, I think I could, you know. But all of a sudden, you know, you got to carry a piece of furniture. And all of a sudden, you're carrying that furniture, and now every step, you know. Why are you going slow with that heavy piece of furniture? Because a slip is a lot easier when you're carrying weight. Destruction comes to people a lot easier when they're carrying weight. In the same way, when you're carrying weight or a burden, you're closer to destruction. That's absolutely right. You're closer to a fall. And I'm not talking about a physical fall down steps. I mean, you're closer to a spiritual fall. You are more a prey to the enemy.
Sure.
When you're carrying worry and burdens.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's that same way spiritually. You're carrying weight that you weren't meant to carry. And therefore, something that could have been light and easy, right, something that you could have just run up top,
yes,
all of a sudden becomes a real watch.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it becomes a real danger.
Yeah.
You aren't meant to carry weight in the form,
right,
of worry.
Amen.
And some of you... You know, you've opened the door through worry. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear and worry are first cousins.
Oh, yes.
You have to know and understand that. And fear is a spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fear is a spirit. It's not an emotion first. It's not a feeling first. It's a spirit.
Yeah.
It is connected directly to a demonic entity. And when you invite fear in, you are inviting the host of the devil in.
There you go.
Because the Bible says that fear is how Satan always controlled humanity.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Let's just look at a few scriptures here. Real quick. Go with me to Isaiah 53. You ready?
Yeah.
We're going to let our fingers do some quick walking here because it's 5 minutes before noon. And pastors know the pressure that when they see noon come. Not this pastor.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Look, it looks like my kid's been scribbling in my Bible. Isaiah 53, he picked a good chapter to do it. Oh, glory. Note to self, do not leave pens on my desk with my Bible. Praise God. All right. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, telling us what Jesus did for us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, you know that in the original Hebrew, or you can read it in the Amplified, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. So it's talking about physical health, and it's talking about emotional health. It says that Jesus bore the burden of both. Who carried your worries and your cares and your anxieties? Jesus already carried them.
Yes.
This is talking about what Jesus would do on the cross. Not only did he bear the sin of the world, he bore the sicknesses of the world, and he bore the mental anguish of the world. To worry is to go to Jesus and say, give me my cares back. To worry is to not believe that he carried your distresses. He carried my distresses. Therefore, he doesn't want you taking them back. Stay away from them. Say, but I just feel so burdened. Well, you can't help feelings that come, but you have to act against those feelings. Say, well, Pastor, I just cast that burden, and 2 seconds later, it tried to come back. Cast it again. Cast it until it stays. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2 in the New Testament. Oh, we could stop at Matthew chapter 6. You know, when Jesus said, behold the fowls of the air. Which one of you think you can add one cubit to your stature by taking thought? Go to Hebrews 2, though. I want to show you how the devil takes advantage of this. A lot of people, they don't understand. They thought they were doing a good thing by worrying about somebody. No. You were deceived if you worry. Look at Hebrews 2. Now, we're reading about what Jesus did for us. Let's pick it up in verse 14 in the King James. Hebrews 2:14, for the sake of time, I'll put it in context. It's talking about what Jesus did for us. See, when we sing the song like we did today, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
You better know and understand what it means to be the redeemed of the Lord.
Yeah,
you're redeemed from fear.
Yes. Amen.
You're redeemed from fear as much as you are redeemed from sin.
Yes.
Praise God, because the price that God paid for your salvation was the same price that he paid to carry your cares. They were both placed on Jesus. Look at this. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus became flesh and blood. See, there was people during that time that were saying that Jesus didn't become a man, that his spirit came to the earth. And I believe Paul, the author of Hebrews, is arguing against that. He said, yeah, Jesus became literal flesh and blood. Right? It says, Jesus also likewise took part of the same, that through death, that's the death at the cross for Jesus, that he would destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. See, the devil thought Jesus was being destroyed, but he didn't know it was his own destruction he was witnessing. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to that cross and when he rose again, the devil and his power was destroyed. We've been living 2,000 years in a time where the devil's power is completely destroyed. But here's the only way that he's going to try to bring it back on you. Look at verse 15. And Jesus delivered them, meaning all of us, who through fear of death. Well, you could just say it this way, who through fear. But specifically, it's talking about the fear of dying. Were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice the people that Jesus delivered, he delivered them from fear. Because before they were delivered in fear, they were subject to the bondage of the enemy. Meaning that Satan keeps humanity captive by getting them in fear. Jesus delivered us from fear. He delivered us from care and worry and anxiety. Glory to God. He delivered me from that. And I am not going to put myself back into slavery. I'm not going to put myself back into bondage. I'm not going to put myself back into bounds by being afraid, because that is how Satan is going to try to bind the church. Is keep the church afraid of the economy, afraid of the politicians, afraid of the laws, afraid of the government, afraid of this, afraid of that. If you're worrying, if you're in fear about something, you're putting on the same bondage that Jesus gave his life to deliver you from. No wonder fear and worry is evil in the eyes of God. Because it's a direct attack and insult on the deliverance he gave to us in Jesus. Listen, remember the car? The illustration of the Ferrari, the GT 250 California, right? Why would you go to such lengths to put, you know, to roll that thing on that truck? Because it's so valuable. Why does God go to such great lengths to deliver us from fear? Because you're valuable. You're valuable. You're precious. You're not just a face in the crowd. You're not some ambiguous individual that, you know, God doesn't look at or see. He sees you as precious. He sees you as the most valuable thing because he paid the highest price to get you. You know, just like a person, you know, that owner, the whoever that was that bought that $15.9 million car, you know, earlier this month, you know, if someone walked, you know, in front of it and they had, you know, jeans with rivets on it or something, they wanted to sit on the hood. No, don't sit on the hood. That's valuable. You know, probably would be like, no, don't even touch it. It's valuable. It's so precious. There's only a few of these cars left in the world. That's how God looks at you and says, no, they're so valuable. That guy would say, no, I paid $15 million for this car. Don't touch it. Don't put the burden on it. God say, no, I paid for their life in the blood of the Son. Don't carry the burden. It's already been carried. Don't take that back. Don't take those cares back from Jesus and carry them yourself. You're not designed for it. It'll crush you. And here's something that you have to know. Don't carry the burdens of somebody else. Now, how do we understand that? Paul told the Philippians, he said, what did he tell us over there in Philippians 2, verse, well, I'm over there. I'm seeing it in my Bible. You can see it. He wrote it to the Philippians, and he said, bear ye one another's burdens and carry the law of Christ. So he couldn't have been talking about fear. You never carry someone else's burden through fear and worry. You can only carry someone else's burdens through faith. You can release faith for their burdens. You cannot carry them yourself. Amen? And again, let me answer the question. How do I do this, Pastor? It's as simple as this. The prayer of commitment. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. Father, I commit this burden to you. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to know everything about it. Father, I cast the weight of it upon you. I roll that care and that anxiety upon you. Father, I no longer am going to take it, no longer going to worry about it. And real quickly, let's end right here. We'll end right here. Go over to 1 Peter 5. You know the scripture I'm going to now. Say, oh, I just can't do that to God. Yeah, you can. You better. Now, here is your license for casting your cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Well, why don't we read verse 6 because it's so good together. I'm reading in the King James, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Here it is. Just about done, so you can stop counting the ceiling boards here. And you can listen to this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. Of course, we exalt God. Do you ever know that he wants to exalt you?
Yes, amen.
I don't mean worship you. But you understand that he wants to raise you up. He wants you to be a billboard for his goodness. He wants people to look at your life and say, wow, God is good.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. How do you humble yourself so that God may exalt you in due time? Verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you.
Amen.
God is saying, please do this. I care for you. I'll carry it. I'll bear the burden of that thing. I'll carry the weight. Don't you worry about it. Don't think about it anymore. It's on the truck. It's on the truck. It's on the truck. You can rest now. You can repose and rest all the care of your load in this life. Glory to God. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Look what the Amplified says. If this verse doesn't bless you in the Amplified, nothing will. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. There's the key. On him. For he cares for you affectionately. He cares for you watchfully. Oh, my goodness. So if there's cares today, you know, that's your license. God cares for you affectionately. He's watching over you. He wants you to cast those burdens, roll them upon him so he can sustain you. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved or to slip or to fail. Amen. Commit your way unto him. Roll all of your cares upon him. He shall bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass if you're not worrying. Your part, isn't it amazing what we have to do? Cast it on him and get out of the way. You know, I don't have to drive the truck to California. You know, I don't have to, you know, be the navigator and plan the route. Once that car's on the truck, I can shake the hand of the driver, see you later, and I can walk away as though it's already there. Casting all your care on him, for he cares so much for you. Praise the Lord. You got to do this. He's not going to come and take it from you. He's not going to barge into your life and say, hey, let me take that burden. He never says, I'll take your burden. He says, you got to cast it. Get some help today? Yes, you did. This is the key.
Yes.
Fear is bondage. You're delivered.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you fear anymore. Yeah. Not if you believe Jesus went to the cross for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. We worship.